This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church this morning on this day when we celebrate fathers and father figures in our lives. It is a good day to be in the house of God and worship together. As we gather, I have just a few announcements for us. All adults are invited downstairs into McWhorter Hall right after the service for our summer Sunday school class. It's open to everybody. And our teacher today is Dr. David Lowes Watson, who will continue the conversation about John Wesley and the Wesleyan movement. Also this evening at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Tizay service of worship. This is a service of song and silence and contemplation, and it is a wonderful way to stay grounded in who God is and who we are. And so we would love for you to come tonight at 5 o'clock. Lisa Guak wanted me to let you know that our West End t-shirts are available out in Reed Hall. If you ordered one of the God Loves Everyone Unconditionally t-shirts, it's out in Reed Hall in a Ziploc bag with your name on it. And we would encourage you to wear them next weekend, which is the Pride weekend here in Nashville. We have some folks who are going to be at that parade sharing God's unconditional love on Saturday and Sunday. And if you'd like to wear your shirt to worship on Sunday, that would be wonderful. We have Vacation Bible School coming up, and as I shared a little bit last week, it's been such an overwhelming success that we have a lot of kindergartners and first graders and need to split them into two groups. So we are still in need of two adult volunteers and two teen volunteers to help share the love of God during Vacation Bible School. So even if you can only do part of the week, if you would talk with me or Becky Peeler today, that would be a great help and a great ministry. Finally, this morning, before we begin worship, a little bit of sad news that I want to share with all of you. I feel like it's important to me to share it with you before worship begins. Many of you know Matthew Rowland, the son of Mark and Ruth Ann Rowland. He's a young adult who is usually at the soundboard every Sunday morning. He grew up in this church, and we learned yesterday that he passed away suddenly, most likely of a seizure at home. And so that's just heavy on my heart this morning and for all of us as a congregation, especially at this service, as he's usually up there helping all of us to worship. So we each bring with us this morning shock and grief, other things that we carry in our lives, that we hold in our hearts, some of them very painful things, some of them very joyful things. We bring all of that before God in this hour of worship, knowing that God sees our hearts and holds everything that is in our hearts. So let us come as we are and open ourselves to the love and grace and hope of God in this time of worship together.
of summer, gather your hearts for worship. People of sunshine and rain, gather your minds for worship.
We gather our minds and all the thoughts and doubts inside.
People of growing things, gather your spirits for worship in this place.
Our spirits are gathered, our minds and hearts are ready. Let us worship God.
When we gather to worship God, we remember we are God's people. But we have often preferred our way instead of God's. Trusting God's power to make us new persons in Christ, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we pray together in one voice. Gracious God, have mercy on us, for we have failed to be faithful to you. Though you have been faithful to us, you show us your wisdom. But we prefer to go our own way. Our broken relationships with you and one another have created poverty in us and our neighbors. In your mercy, reconcile us to you and one another for the work of justice, peace, and love. Brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. We are being renewed day by day through the grace of Christ extended to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. You are invited to pass the peace of Christ to one another. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ben and Jamie Flick bring their daughter, Vera Marie Flick, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Jamie and Ben, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do." Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service of others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
What name is given this child?
Fear Marie.
Vera Marie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would place your hands on her, please. Vera Marie, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, that you may grow to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we are going to go on a little walk now. I'm going to turn you this way so everybody can see your smiling face. Oh, yeah. Vera Marie, this is your new family in Christ. And these are the people that are going to walk with you in faith and love and help you grow and learn to know what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Will the congregation please stand and face Vera Marie? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Vera Marie to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks
to all of God,
Vera Marie, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
As we prepare for the reading of the scripture, let us pray together this prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Reading from the Old Testament. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me one whom I name to you. The word of God for the people of God.
This morning, I want to show you a picture. So if I were to ask you, which of these people do you think loves God the most? Which person in this picture has the most love in their heart? We don't really know, do we? We can't really tell just by looking at them. There are a lot of people in there, aren't there? It's kind of hard to pick just one. But the truth is, just by looking at the appearance of somebody, we don't always really know what's in their heart. But we hear a story this morning from the Bible where God looks at some people and says, I can see what is in your heart. I know what is truly in the heart. And so when we look at people, we might not see what's in their heart. We might have a clue, though, if they love God and if they love other people, by watching how they act, watching how they treat other people. Are they kind to everybody? Do they share their toys and share things with others? Do they use nice words? Those might be some ways that we know somebody has the love of God in their heart. So that's one reason we want to try and be kind and generous with other people, because God's love is in us, and God wants other people to see that love in us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us so much. Your love is in our hearts. Help us to share that love and to know that you see us, not because of how we look, but because of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. Maybe you've had this experience, standing on the playground when somebody says, hey, let's play kickball. And two captains are chosen, and everybody else is lined up, and the captains start picking the people they want on their teams. Maybe you've had the experience where you're one of the last ones standing there, and you haven't been picked yet. That maybe was not quite my experience. Mine was more like, I'm in seventh grade, and it's the Valentine's dance. When I was in youth group, NYF, growing up, we used to have dances, Halloween, and New Year's Eve, and Valentine's Day. We don't do that anymore, which is probably a good thing. But I'll never forget being at the Valentine's dance in seventh grade, and you know, when it's a fast song, like this is the early 80s, you know, Don't Stop Believing or REO Speedwagon or some of those great 80s hits, everybody's just out on the dance floor dancing. But then they start playing an Air Supply song, a slow song, and everybody goes off and stands against the wall. And these dances were pretty traditional, where the girls would stand around and wait for a boy to ask them to dance. In seventh grade, I was at least 4 inches taller than every boy in my class. So I had that feeling many times of watching everybody else be asked while I did not get chosen. We learn at an early age how the world works, that those who are beautiful on the outside, those who are smart, those who are funny, as we get to be adults, those who are wealthy, those who are successful, those who have achievements on their resume, get picked first. They get preferential treatment. They have privilege in our world. But when we open our Bibles, we discover that that's not the way God works at all. From the very beginning, the very earliest stories of Genesis, God seems always to be choosing the least likely person, the most unsavory people, to carry forward God's covenant. God is constantly choosing the younger siblings in the stories of Genesis, Jacob and Joseph, neither of whom was necessarily a really nice guy. When we get to the book of Exodus, God chooses a murderer with a speech impediment to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. It is something that happens again and again and again in Scripture. The story of the resurrection was first told by a group of women whom nobody would believe. God is always choosing the unlikely messengers, the unlikely servants. And the same thing happens in our story today. The Scriptures left off with Samuel being sent to the house of Jesse to choose one of Jesse's sons to become the next king of Israel. Now, we may remember as part of this story that the Israelites had asked the prophet Samuel for a king. They were ready to have a king like all the other nations. It wasn't what God wanted for them, but God granted their prayer. And the first king of Israel was Saul. And Saul was God's choice. But Saul didn't work out so well. Saul lost his way, and his story is one of the great tragedies of the Old Testament, I think. And so when our scripture text begins this morning, God has decided to move on from Saul. It even says God regretted making Saul king. And so God sends Samuel to anoint a new king. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house. And Jesse has a bunch of sons. And Jesse brings each son one by one in front of Samuel. And Samuel is waiting to see which one God will whisper in his ear is the next king of Israel. The first one to step forward is Eliab, probably the oldest. He's tall, most likely handsome, strong, and Samuel thinks to himself, this has got to be the one. This is the next king of Israel. But God says, nope, next. Then comes Abinadab, same thing, handsome, rugged, looks like he should be a king, but God says, nope, not this one either. And one by one, there are seven sons who are paraded before Samuel, and not one of them is God's choice. So finally, it's almost a comic moment in the story. Samuel looks at Jesse and says, do you have any other sons? Is this it? And Jesse says, well, there is one more. It's as if Jesse didn't even think that his youngest son would be a candidate at all. Little David. Little David's out in the field watching the sheep. He's the lowest on the totem pole. Nobody listens to David. Nobody pays attention to David. But God said one of Jesse's sons would be a king, and this is the last one. So Jesse brings him before Samuel, and God says, this is my choice. Samuel's confused. But God says to Samuel, Samuel, you are looking on outward appearances. You are looking at things the way the world looks at things. But the Lord looks on the heart. God is not interested in all those external strength, handsomeness, whatever it may, success, whatever it may be. God is interested in what is inside the heart. And what God sees in David's heart is exactly what God is looking for in a king. We learn elsewhere in the book of Samuel that David is described as a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. What does that mean exactly? One thing I think it means is that David loved God and really had a deep desire to please God and to live as God wanted him to live. God didn't see that in the hearts of his brothers, but God saw it in David's heart, a pure heart that wanted to follow God. So this story is really good news for us, isn't it? We live in a world that values all of these superficial things, success and beauty and all of those things. I was in a Walgreens the other day and I saw a magazine on the rack, and I kid you not, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. Are they back together again? Who cares? But we're fascinated with the beautiful people. We're all talking about LeBron James and where he's going to go play. That's our culture, you know, to celebrate the beautiful and the strong. But it is good news, my friends, that God looks on the heart. That all of the facades and all the things we strive after don't matter to God. What matters is what is in our heart. And that is good news for the invisible, the good news for those who are not beautiful, the good news for the poor and the struggling and those who are forgotten on the margins. God sees us all. That is good news, right? I don't know. What if I'm successful? You know, what if I have all these great things on my resume? Maybe I don't want God to see my heart. Maybe I'd really rather God see all this other stuff that I've worked so hard to achieve. I was at annual conference this week, a gathering of all the clergy and lay delegates from United Methodist Churches in Middle Tennessee, and on Wednesday night, we have our ordination service, and all of us who are ordained get to wear our robes and our stoles, and we get to be part of the procession of the clergy. We come in and we sit in the front rows, and it feels pretty good. Hey, I'm an ordained pastor. I've got my robe. I've got my stole. Look at me. I sat right next to the senior pastor of Brentwood United Methodist Church. And you know what? I'm the senior pastor of West End United Methodist Church. Pretty important. And if I can get my act together and finish this project and paper, in a couple of years, I might be Dr. Carol Cavan Dillon. Carol Cavan Dillon, B-A-M Div, D-Min, all sorts of impressive letters after my name. Boy, I sure would like God to be impressed with all of that. It is a temptation for me to hold on to all that stuff and to believe that that is what makes me good and worthy in the sight of God. Maybe you struggle with that too. I'm pretty good looking. I'm pretty popular. I'm funny. I make really good grades. I've achieved the highest place in my company. I'm a heart surgeon. I'm all of these things, God. Doesn't that impress you? But God looks on the heart. And so the question for us, no matter how successful or unsuccessful we may be, is how is it with our hearts today? What's going on in the deepest places of our lives and of our souls? Image that comes to my mind is our heart as a house. And God has come to live and abide in our house. And God is walking around every chamber of our hearts, shining light, turning on the lights. And what does God see? Everything. Now, it may be easy to hear this word this morning with a wagging of a finger. You can't hide from God. God sees everything. That's not how I want you to hear it. What I need to hear and what I want all of us to hear this morning is a gracious and loving invitation to recognize what is already true, that God looks upon us and sees all of us with eyes of love. And if we can come out of hiding, if we can admit to God and to ourselves and perhaps to others who we really are, We might expect judgment and condemnation, but we will be received instead with love. God is turning on the lights of our hearts in love to set us free from those things that may be holding us hostage in our houses. So, my friends, the good news is that God looks upon the heart and loves and accepts us just as we are. There are some things about David, as we continue in his story this summer, that he wasn't perfect. He messed up many times. But he was a man after God's own heart. May we be people after God's own heart.
As a people who hope to be people after God's own heart, let us stand as we are able and join our voices together in our affirmation of faith today, found on page 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share this morning, please fill out one of the gray cards that is located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if you would like them to be confidential. In a few moments, you can place the cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews. This morning, we remember Ann and Neil Lambert and their family, who are mourning the death of Ann's mother, Charlotte McKnight, who died June 8th in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Services were held Friday, June 15th in Murfreesboro. We also remember Barry and Donna Westbrook, who are mourning the death of Barry's father, William Frederick Westbrook, who died June 8th in Austin, Texas. And finally, it is with deepest sadness that we announce the sudden and unexpected death of Matthew Rowland this morning. Our prayers are with his parents, Mark and Ruth Ann, brothers Will and Drew, and we know all of their family. They will need our love and care in the days and months ahead. On this Father's Day, where we remember the gift of parents in our lives, I wanted to take a moment to share a statement from our Council of Bishops. For those who don't know, in the Methodist Church, we have a group of bishops that help us all discern what it is to be Methodist. And often in the church, you know, we disagree. But occasionally, all the bishops come together to say something. And they've come together with faith leaders from around the world to say something this week. And so I wanted to read this as we move into this time of prayer this morning. Recently, the U.S. administration announced that it will begin separating families and criminally prosecuting all people who enter the U.S. without previous authorization. As religious leaders representing diverse faith perspectives, united in their concern for the well-being of vulnerable migrants who cross our borders fleeing from danger and threats to their lives, we are deeply disappointed and pained to hear this news. We affirm the family as a foundational societal structure to support human community and understand the household as an estate blessed by God. The security of the family provides critical mental, physical, and emotional support to the development and well-being of children. Our congregations and agencies serve many migrant families that have recently arrived in the United States. Leaving their communities is often the only option they have to provide safety for their children and protect them from harm. Tearing children away from parents who have made a dangerous journey to provide a safe and sufficient life for them is unnecessarily cruel and detrimental to the well-being of parents and children. As we continue to serve and love our neighbor, we pray for the children and families that will suffer due to this policy and urge the administration to stop their policy of separating families. And now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of guiding mercy, so often we are a people searching for the way. Despite our best intentions, we often find that our actions and our decisions and choices have led to places of pain and confusion and even chaos. Lord, we pray that you would always watch over us. And when we stray from your path, give us guidance. When we wrestle with the right decisions, Lord, give us clarity. When we exercise our responsibility for one another, give us compassion. And when we falter, Lord, give us mercy. God of caring compassion, today we are reminded of your heart for those who are hurting. Just as you looked upon the people and regretted the circumstances into which Saul had brought his people, we wonder how you look upon us today. Whenever and wherever the wielding of power forgets or betrays the well-being of your vulnerable children, O Lord, we pray you would look with favor upon those who are hurting or abandoned or persecuted or lost. So today we lift up in prayer all who cry out for your mercy and justice. We pray for persons across the world who live under conditions of poverty and war, insufficient access to food or water, and chaotic governance. We pray for our country and our state and our city. Help us be a people that live out of your hospitality and abundance. Help us be those who truly see others and all the people, who truly welcome them into our midst, and who truly love all of your people. Lord, we pray for all who are broken by pain, by grief, or sickness in body, mind, or spirit. And loving and sustaining Spirit of light, we pray for ourselves. Make us people after your heart. Come to us, be with us, empower us, and move us forward in ever greater knowledge and awareness of your goodness and righteousness. We pray all these things as we lift up those people and places on our hearts and minds in a time of silent prayer. Recognizing our constant need of your gracious love for us, we lift our voices to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, in the name of God, who watches over us all, let us give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
The name of God is love, and God's love has filled and claimed our hearts. May it flow through us to shine the loving light of Christ into this world. And go in Christ's name and peace.